Welcome to the St. Andrew Sunday Morning Sermon Podcast. You can connect with us online at www.gostandrew.com.
Today's reading is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense for him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep.
When you hear the word home, is there a particular place in the world that comes to mind for you? Where in your heart of hearts is home for you? Is it the house of your childhood or the home you're living in now? Is it the community in which you grew up or the community in which you raised your family? Whenever you say, I'm going home for the holidays, or it's good to finally be back home, where is that place for you? There's no more poignant and universal idea than the idea of home and going home. The longing for home, or homesickness, is a condition as old as humanity itself. Homer's epic tale, The Odyssey, one of the oldest works of literature, tells the story of Odysseus and his 10-years-long journey home after the Trojan War. Presumed dead, determined to return to his wife, he says, what I want and all my days I pine for is to go back to my house and see my day of homecoming. Homecoming. In the Greek, the word for homecoming is nastos. Nastos is the root of our English word, nostalgia. Have you ever felt nostalgia? If you have, you know what it feels like to long for home. Norman Rockwell portrayed that nostalgia with images of fires crackling on the hearth, families gathered around the dinner table. Dorothy experienced nostalgia whenever she clicked her heels together and said, there's no place like home. In the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks' character Chuck Noland feels nostalgia. After surviving a plane crash and years of loneliness and that long ordeal at sea, he finally returns home only to find that home is not at all what it once was, nor will it ever be. And the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one of my favorites, who doesn't feel nostalgia when Neil and Dell finally walk through that front door on Thanksgiving Day after having endured so many setbacks and indignities and having endured each other? The longing for home. The first enslaved peoples brought to North America sang about it. Stolen from their villages, stripped of their humanity, shackled in chains, they wrote one of the most enduring Negro spirituals, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home. If you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home, tell all my friends I'm coming too. Coming for to carry me home. We all long to be home. But home is so much more than a place. It's more like a state of being. Home is found at that intersection where a place and time inside of you meets a place and time out in the world. And you know when you have finally found your home, because when you're there, you are known and accepted for who you are. The writer Frederick Buechner says that home is the place where you belong, where you feel that all is somehow ultimately well, even if things aren't going all that well at any given moment. To be home is to belong. And we all know how hard it can be to find that place of belonging in this world. There are so few places where we are truly known and genuinely free to be our true selves, without condition, judgment, or the threat of rejection. We all long for that kind of home in the world, and to live without it is to be homesick, to ache for that place that says, no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, or how long it took you to finally get here, you are welcomed and accepted here. 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus, God's people dreamt of home. The Babylonians had defeated Israel's army, destroyed the holy city, Jerusalem. The temple was leveled. The survivors were driven across the desert to live in captivity. Now, for years, the prophets had been warning that this would happen. The day will come, they said, when all your idolatry, all your neglect and trampling of the poor, all your shadiness and greed, it will catch up with you. God will judge you, and you will someday pay for your sins as a nation. And then all at once, that someday finally happened. And it was a brutal and bloody defeat. And it was followed by the humiliating sentence of exile in a foreign, pagan, godless land. In Babylon, the exiles longed to return home, remembering how it used to be back in Jerusalem. Nostalgia. They sang the old songs. They told the old stories of Israel to their children every night. One of their songwriters wrote what may be the most honest verse in all the Bible. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. The longing for home. Every Advent, we look at our world and we acknowledge all the injustices, all the brokenness around us that keeps us and our neighbors from being fully at home in this world. And so we sing an Advent hymn that centers our present experience in Israel's ancient story of exile. And that hymn is a cry to God to come down to comfort us and bring us home. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. One day, after about 70 years in exile, God hears the cries of the exiles and sends them a message in the form of a letter written by a prophet who somehow remained back in the rubble of Jerusalem. And that letter begins with these astonishing words. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak softly and tenderly to Jerusalem that she has served her sentence, that her sin is forgiven. She's been punished enough, and now it's over and done with. The prophet's letter announces that God has had a change of heart toward the people. they've done their time, okay, maybe even a little more time than was necessary. But God has had a change of heart, and God has decided that it's time to bring them home. It's time to reconcile. It's time to forgive. It's time to start all over again. In his letter, Isaiah paints this vivid picture of a highway paved across the vast desert between Babylon and Jerusalem. Nothing is going to get in God's way of bringing the exiles home. Every valley will be lifted up, every mountain made low, all the rough places made smooth. As Marvin Gaye once put it, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe. God just wants them back. And God will find a way through the desert. The exiles will go home. And while that part of the letter is wonderful news to the exiles, it's nothing compared to the bombshell that comes next in Isaiah's letter. Isaiah announces to the exiles that, yes, they're finally going to go home, even though God already knows that once they are back home, they'll mess up again. God knows this already, but will still bring them home anyway. Eventually, they will break God's heart again. It's just in their nature. It's in our nature too, isn't it? To be human is to know all too well what it means to fall short, to miss the mark, to blow it, to lose our way. And Isaiah's letter describes each of us like the grass or flowers of the field. He says, all people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, whenever the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades. Isaiah uses that word constancy. Our constancy, he says, is as fleeting and fragile as the flower of the field, constancy. In the Hebrew, the word is hesed. It means commitment or faithfulness. And he's saying that our hesed is, on average, pretty fleeting and fragile. According to Isaiah, God has come to terms with this fact. This fact that, like flowers in the field, our commitment, our faithfulness just doesn't hold up very well over time. And so if God is going to bring the exiles home, things will have to be different. If not with the exiles, then at least with God. God is going to have to find a new way of relating to Israel. Judgment didn't work. Punishment didn't work. The threat of exile didn't work. Not even 70 years in exile worked. So what will work? Isaiah says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. What is that word that stands forever? In a nutshell, that word is God's grace. When all else has failed, God will finally turn to grace. Grace will work. And that grace is captured in this radical verse in Isaiah that completely redefines now how God will choose to relate to the exiles once they come home, and how God will choose to relate to us once we return from all of our wanderings in the Babylons of this world. Isaiah says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs in his arms and carry them on his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. If you have ever struggled to relate to God, to conceive of God beyond the dominant images of a vengeful, wrathful, judgmental God perpetuated by so much toxic Christianity, then hold on above all else to this one radical verse in Isaiah. about a shepherd God who speaks tenderly, carries lambs in his arms, holding them close, gently leading them, a God that you do not ever have to fear. In contrast to what so many of us have been taught over the years about God's wrath and judgment, what Isaiah is saying is this: mercy, patience, grace. These are at the very heart of God, not vengeance, not punishment, not judgment, just grace. And that doesn't mean that anything and everything goes. It just means that the grace of God endures and that the love of God prevails. Isaiah says, you can't count on the flowers of the field, but you can count on the grace of God. In her autobiography, An American Childhood, Annie Dillard, a great writer, writes about growing up in Pittsburgh. She was smart. By the age of 15, she'd read through all the books in her library near her home. And after reading all those books, she decided that religion was worthless, that God didn't really exist. So she took it upon herself at the age of 15 to show up at Shadyside Presbyterian Church. And she said to her pastor, I want my name off the roll. I don't believe in God anymore. The pastor said, okay. Dillard said, you're not going to try to argue me out of this? The pastor said, no. You're too smart for me. There's no way I could argue you back in. She said, so I want my name off the roll. He said, it's off the roll. She said, okay. And as she walked out, the pastor muttered to himself, she'll be back. Dillard wheeled around and said, what did you say? And he said, I said I presumed that you'd probably be back. She said, look, this is my life. I live my life like I want to live my life. I'm not coming back. He said, okay. Years later, Dillard wrote in her autobiography, as I write this, I'm 48 years old, and I'm back. You can't count on the flowers of the field, but you can count on the grace of God. And that is why Isaiah can lead this passage with these words, comfort, O comfort my people. Because the comfort comes not just from knowing that we can come home to God. The comfort comes from knowing that when we do come home, we have nothing to fear. That's actually the true meaning of the word comfort. It means literally freedom from anxiety. And what makes us more anxious than wondering if we are truly free to be who we are in the places we are without judgment? The late novelist James Baldwin described home not as a place, but simply as an irrevocable condition. And for people of faith, that irrevocable condition is God's grace, given once and for all in the life and death of Jesus Christ. To be at home in the world and to be at home with God is to know that we'll never be perfect or blameless. Yet even still, we are accepted. We will mess up again and again, but never again will we ever have to live apart from God because of our mistakes. God just wants us to come home. And God will welcome us home just as we are. It was Thanksgiving Day. A family I've known for many years had just sat down at the table for the Thanksgiving meal when at some point between the prayer and the pumpkin pie, the phone rang. a considerable amount of commotion ensued. The caller happened to be a long-forgotten family member whose legacy had been reduced to a handful of old Polaroids and more than a few sad stories. By his own choosing, he was no longer a part of the family. Decades of alcoholism led to years of drifting in and out, running here and there, until finally he was gone for good. And his absence from the family made for a certain peace within the family. And then it happened. From the other end of the line, he announced that he had sobered up. He asked if he could come home. He asked if it was possible to be forgiven, to start over, to become a part of the family again. If they said no, he would understand why. But after 40 years of drinking and years of running, he finally longed for home. And they said, come home. When he walked back into that family, he found peace, and the family found peace too. A month later, on Christmas Eve, he stood at the altar of the church as the pastor sprinkled water over his head at his baptism, declaring him forgiven and saying, welcome home. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term. Her penalty is paid. And now he will feed his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, gently lead them. Our takeaways for today. Our constancy is like the flower of the field. Our true home is an irrevocable condition called God's grace. God longs for us to come home and welcomes us just as we are.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. And if you'd like more information, go to www.gosaintandrew.com. See you next week.